Our next topic is characterization in Cooley. Anand is a conventionalist in the field of plot construction and characterization. The characterization in Cooley is conventional. He not only reveals his characters through other characters, but he himself begins to describe them. For example, we have an elaborate description of Mrs. Mainwaring's parentage, her romantic complex, and spilt personality. Other characters such as Munnu and Dayaram are also introduced almost in the same manner. The characters in Cooley are not complex and round. They are flat and simple. They are static. Munnu does not change. He is the same old Munnu throughout the novel and is therefore not a dynamic character. Professor M. K. Nayak remarks, "A sensitive and intelligent rustic adolescence, unrooted from the heaven of his native hills and thrown into the maelstrom of the varied urban world, should undergo nothing short of a total transformation of personality within the space of 2 years, which can actually constitute an age in terms of development at that impressionable period. Of that transformation, there is no sign in Munnu. The change brought by puberty and the loss of vitality consequent on the onset of disease are fully noted. But the inner development of Munnu is totally neglected. Characters in this novel are generally static. Consequently, they do not have any complexity of life. Cooley is devoid of any remarkable, immortal, literary characters except that of Munnu. The Eurasian and Anglo-Indian characters in the novel also lack full development and portraiture. They are quite sketchy. The characterization in Cooley is melodramatic. All the characters in the novel are either good or bad. We have good characters such as Prabha, Parvati, Chota Babu, Ratan, or evil characters such as Dayaram, B.V. Uttam Kaur, Ganpat, Jimmy Thomas. Mrs. Mainwaring has perhaps a mixture of good and bad in her. Except her, there is no middle type of characters as in Hardy and Dickens. As regards the scope of characterization in Cooley, it is apical. It has an interesting variety of characters, not in terms of colorful humanity, but in terms of the class to which they belong. The canvas here is larger than it was in The Untouchable and accommodates a multiplicity of characters. In the novel, we have a low-class bottom dogs who have knots such as Munnu, Dayaram, Varma, Mohan, Maharaj, Hari and Prabha, who though a social climber, is after all a coolie. Then there are middle-class people like Babu Nathu Ram, B.V. Uttam Kaur, Dr. Premchand. Thirdly, there are rich men of upper-class society like Todar Mal, Ganpat. The real aristocracy is represented by Mrs. Mainwaring. Lastly, there is a wonderful variety of British characters. We have Mr. W. P. England, the chief cashier of the Imperial Bank of India, Shamnagar. Mrs. Edward Majory Banks, the public health officer, Daulatpur. Sir Reginald White, president of the cotton mill at Bombay, Mr. Little, the manager of the mill, Jimmy Thomas, the foreman and major merchant of Shimla. Thus, the characters are presented in the novel on the basis of economic stratification. We have very rich and very poor people. We have middle class people. We have Anglo-Indians, and then we have British characters. From the point of view of the social hierarchy of Indian society, we have a village peasant, village landlord, greedy low-class men, spoiled rich men, poor coolie becoming rich, Rai Bahadurs, clerks, doctors, aristocratic men, leaders, slum dwellers, swarms of coolies, Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, and Englishmen. Thus, the canvas is quite large. To quote Professor Iyengar, Iyengar, coolie is what Advait Muir would call a character novel, for it extends primarily in space. With the hero, the hill boy Munnu, we move to and follow his fortunes, or rather misfortunes, first with his uncle and aunt in his village, Bilaspur, then with the bank sub-accountant family at Shamnagar, where Munnu works as a servant, then with Munnu's benefactor, Prabha, and his wife in the incredible Cat Killer's Lane in the old feudal city, Dolatpur. We are presently lost with Munnu in Bombay's slums and chawls, and noise and madness and general filth and oases of splendor, and lastly with Mrs. Mainwaring at Shimla as a page and rickshaw puller, where he dies of consumption. In the words of Saroj Kovarsji, the magic of the book is in Munnu's innocence, in his naive warm-heartedness, his love and comradeship, his irrepressible curiosity and zest for life. He belongs with some of the most endearing juvenile characters in modern literature, with Victor Hugo's Gavroche, Gavroche, and Dickens' David Copperfield, and through him the whole misery of India speaks. A strain of criticism of his author is that he does not fully understand his English characters, and that they are not convincingly sketched. But where in Indian fiction is there a more authentic picture of a colonial Englishman than we have in Mr. W. P. England in the second chapter? Only in chapter 4, where the milieu is Bombay, does Anand caricature the English baronet and the English foreman. This is deliberately done, for it is precisely as they would appear to Indian eyes. The careless reader, still viewing the world through Munnu's eyes and relying on the tantalizing realism of the earlier chapters, is shocked, for he has failed to see the subtle shift in technique and point of view on the author's part. Munnu in Shamnagar and Dolatpur is an individual who maintains his innocence and identity, though there is evidence that these are being gradually corroded away. But once he is in Bombay, Munnu becomes a part of the toiling, struggling, starving masses, and we see the world through the distorted eyes of the masses. In the Bombay chapter, the center of interest is not Munnu, but the millions of suffering workers. Munnu is no more than a speck in the tide of humanity, and it is precisely for this reason that the author does not conclude his tail here, but retrieves him and sends him to Shimla, where he regains his identity. Of the five English characters in the novel, only the two that fall in the Bombay chapter are caricatured very much in the manner of the 19th century Indian novel Fasana e Azad. Chapter 4 is wholly expressionistic in technique and is devoted to dramatizing and universalizing the basic theme, that of the fact of the natural man's essential innocence. The reader who has failed to see the change in the point of view and the technique has no one but blame himself, but himself to blame. Saroj Kowarji. Although the characterization in Kuli is ordinary, yet it is realistic and lively. It is a source of study, the social forces of capitalism, industrialism and communalism. The characters in the novel do not stand either for ideology or for psychology, but many of them are victims, the victims of poverty and exploitation. The characterization of Kuli is over.